listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, April 24th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, What Will Our Resurrected Body Be Like?
Well, it's always good to hear our sons sing, and I appreciate that, fellas. Thank you so much. Take your Bible, please go back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Where the Bible says, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I want to speak this morning on what will our resurrected body be like. What will our resurrected body be like? You know, this is what we would call Resurrection Sunday. This is a Sunday that we look at the resurrected Lord. And it's sometimes caused question marks about, okay, what is the resurrection all about? Well, we know that the resurrection is that which our Lord did do on the third day. He did not stay in the grave, but God raised his son. By the way, there's many proofs. Matter of fact, it's very neat. If you'll look it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll see that there are seven proofs of the resurrection. And by the way, there was a fellow by the name of John Singleton Cobley. John Singleton Cobley said this. Now, he was a man that was one of the greatest legal minds in British history. Matter of fact, he was three times High Chancellor in England. He said this, I know pretty well what evidence is all about. I tell you, such evidence for that which is the resurrection has never been broken down. Now, that is from a man that was one of the highest chancellors in the British Empire. But I want us to notice how God himself, and isn't it neat when talking about the resurrection, seven is the number of completion, seven is the number of perfection, and yet God, in his word, gets seven infallible proofs of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4, you see that the scripture gives a proof to the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5, you see that Cephas gives testimony of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5, you'll see that the disciples give testimony of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6 recorded that over 500 people saw Jesus Christ at one time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7, you'll see that James gives testimony to the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7, you'll see that all the apostles gives testimony to the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 8, you'll see that Paul's testimony gives a brief onlook of the resurrection. Now, if I was to walk into a courtroom, and in that courtroom I had two witnesses that was going to stand on my behalf, the judge, no doubt, would allow that to be evidence if they saw the facts, they have the facts, and all of those things. But what if I showed up with 500 witnesses that all saw the same thing, that had the same facts, and all of that information that they gave would be in order? Well, what if I showed up with 512 or 524? Or what if I showed up with 527? Or what if I showed up with over 600 or 700 or 800? The more evidence that I have, the more proof there is of an accurate testimony. Now, may I say, there's no more accurate testimony than the testimony that's been given and the facts that's been stated and the evidence that's been recorded when it comes to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do, since that is true, and there's no argumentation about the resurrection, there's no argumentation that we serve a risen Savior. It's been verified over and over again, not only in the pages of your Bible, but it's been registered, it's been kept on record, and it's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Now, I realize that there are those that call themselves atheists, and they don't want to believe the resurrection, because what it does is it gives authenticity to the scriptures. I realize that there are some modernists out there and some liberals out there that they don't want to give an allegiance to the understanding, the belief, and the endorsement of the resurrection simply because now they would have to say that they would believe in the inspiration of the scriptures. But yet, you and I as believers, we know about the resurrection. So if Jesus Christ being resurrected and is living in heaven today with his heavenly Father, if you and I are also going to go through a resurrected time, you and I also one day are going to have a resurrected body, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like to have a resurrected body? Let's do a Bible study. You want to? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 54. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. Look at 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 52. Here's what the Bible says. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ, the Bible says, shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So statement number one, our resurrected body will be changed. It's going to be different than the body that you have right now. That word changed here, if you will, it's a word that also means transformed. It's a word that also means transfigurated. It means that your body, just like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, your body shall be different. You know, and that's something that God himself promises. Billy Sunday many years ago was on the gospel trail and he would preach in these cities all around America and he was known as a very, very well-known gospel preacher. And so he contacted a governor one day and said, I'm getting ready to come to your state. And then he contacted the mayor of that particular city and said, I'm getting ready to come to your city and I would really like to pray earnestly for those that are in dire need of the gospel, for those that are spiritually dead in your city. If you'll send me all the names of the people that are in dire need of the gospel and are spiritually dead in your city, he said, I promise you with my advance team, we will pray for them. And he was utterly surprised when the mayor of that city sent him the telephone book. Because everybody in the city needed help. And may I say, are you listening to him this morning, that in our resurrected body, things will be different. Things will change. In that resurrected body, that person will have a mind that will not think like it does think today, and will have hands that will not do what they do today, and have feet that will not go where they go today. I'm saying in that resurrected body, you'll be complete in Jesus Christ, and we'll be transformed, we'll be transfigurated, if you will. We're going to be changed into the likeness of his image. Aren't you glad that there's not going to be sin in heaven? Aren't you glad when you get to heaven, you don't have to worry about locking your doors, and you don't have to worry about locking your car, and you don't have to worry about locking, if you would please, your bicycle up with a chain? And aren't you glad when you get to heaven that it's going to be a perfect place filled with God's glory and grace? Aren't you glad that when you get to heaven, it's going to be a place there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no corruption, there's no problems whatsoever? Heaven is a beautiful, wonderful place. I'm saying statement number one, our resurrected body will be changed. It'll be a changed body. Statement number two, our resurrected body will be imperishable. Imperishable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 42. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse 42. The Bible says so also. It says, is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. That word incorruption is talking about it's imperishable. It's not going to be something that is going to be corrupted. It also means this. It means it cannot get any worse than this. Amen. You know, the worst that you have it right now is not going to be that way in heaven. The Bible talks about that you're going to have an imperishable body. That imperishable body that God is going to give you. There was an inscription on a tombstone by a Mr. Solomon Pease. Mr. Solomon Pease had this inscribed on his tombstone. This ain't peas, it's just the pod. Pease has shelled out and went to God. Did you know that's exactly describing your body. Your body, when it's in that resurrected body, will face not death again. Will never face that decay again. I said a resurrected body will be changed. I said statement number two, our resurrected body will be imperishable. Statement number three, our resurrected body will have no sickness. Will have no sickness. Look at verse 43, same chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43. The Bible says, is sown in dishonor and is raised in glory. Sown in weakness, the Bible says, it is raised in power. And so there's not going to be the weakness. There's not going to be the sicknesses that you and I face. There's not going to be the problems that you and I incur today. You know, today we live in our Western civilization, a very, very busy society. You know, sometimes I wonder if the cell phones are really a blessing or if they're a curse. You know, because everywhere you go, somebody can reach you. You know, I mean, everywhere you go, all of a sudden it goes beep, beep, and there's a text, or all of a sudden it goes ring, ring, and there's somebody on the phone. And, you know, years ago it went that way. But I remember years ago when I pastored up in Tennessee and the first car phones came out. You know, back then, if you had a car phone, you thought you were Batman or something. But the first car phones came out. And I remember we had a big battery pack that came with the car phone. I don't know, some of you might remember that, some of you don't. But we had a big battery pack that came with the car phone, and you would plug it in the cigarette lighter. And I remember that you'd have to plug it in and keep it charged. And my battery, big battery, you know, it's almost like carrying around a portable car battery. And that big battery, you know, I carry that thing around, and it was good for, maybe an hour and a half topside outside of the actual car. And I remember doing that. Now I remember when they came out with the phones where you could actually plug the phone in directly to the port. And I thought, boy, that was neat. Then it came out with the batteries that made the cell phones last just a little bit longer. And I thought that was neat. And now they just go on and go on. Did you know that the bathtub was created in 1850? 1850. Did you know that the telephone was not created until 1875? You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means that back between 1850 and 1875, 25 years, nobody was ever interrupted. They could take a bath in peace. Do you know that? Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. There's that resurrected body. You know, in that resurrected body, there's not going to be any sickness. No sickness in that resurrected body. Mrs. Wells, we were out, we had, I think, 130 or something like that out soul winning on Saturday morning. And I was up there preaching, and I give a challenge every Saturday morning. If you don't come to that Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, we meet down in the soul winning room, what used to be the junior department Sunday school room. And we'll meet down there, and for about 15 minutes, I give a charge. You know, we'll have a song, and it's a lively song. Brother Palmore does a great job with that, and I'll get up, and I'll make announcements, and then I'll give a charge. When I was given a charge, and my wife was interpreting for Miss Catherine that was out soul winning, and so my wife was up there interpreting for Miss Catherine, and then all of a sudden, my wife just started to fall out. I mean, she just started blacking out. And so I think it was... Delaney started hitting Jonathan on the shoulder or something like that and said, you know, your mom is passing out, or I don't know what she said. Your mom is dying. I don't know what she said. But you know, but Mrs. Wells wasn't doing good. And so she was hitting her she was hitting him like that and trying to get his attention. Of course, he picked her up and carried her out, you know, just threw her over top of his shoulder. And no, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But you know, was helping mom out, and they went and they sat in Dr. Bokley's office. And of course, I knew that Mrs. Wells had been fasting for some time. And so I just kind of thought that her electrolytes had fallen down. And so we got her some Gatorade and we got her a hamburger. I said, you know, it must be God. Maybe God is saying it's time to come off the fast, you know. But maybe she had a little bit of a stomach virus too. We don't really know. But did you know that she got weak? And when she got weak, she started to fall down and started to black out. But did you know in heaven, there's not going to be that problem? You know, in heaven, there's not going to be the problem of a weak body. There's not going to be the problem of challenges, if you would please, like we face the challenges today. So statement number one, in a resurrected body, it'll be changed. In a resurrected body, it'll be imperishable. In a resurrected body, there will be no sickness. Oh, watch this. Look at Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 42. Luke chapter 24, verse 42. Now, we're using Bible because if you want to know what your resurrected body is going to be like, it's good to go to the Bible. Because only in the Bible, you can kind of sit around and say, well, I think it'll be this way, or it might be this way, or possibly it'll be this way. But there's no better way to find out what you're really going to be like than to go into the Bible. The Bible says, Luke chapter 24 and verse 42, the Bible says, and they gave him, it says, a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. Verse 43, the Bible says, and he took it and did eat before them. Here Jesus is eating in his resurrected body. You know what that means? That means in heaven you'll eat. But in heaven, because you've got a resurrected body, hey, first off, it's going to be perfect food. Have you ever been to a restaurant and it wasn't perfect food? Have you ever been to a restaurant and you say, well, I ate here once and that's it? Or you said, I ate here twice, first and last, that's it? Have you ever been to a restaurant and the cook just did not seem to understand what they were doing? It was overcooked, undercooked, or not cooked. And you just did not want to go back. Oh, wait a minute. In heaven, perfect chefs. Hey, are you listening to me? In heaven, perfect bodies. You don't have to watch your calorie count. So I tell you what, when I get to heaven, what's it going to be like? Well, first off, you're going to have a perfect body. Come on. You're going to be in the image of Christ. So I tell you what, well, if I'm going to be that way, then I guess I might as well just enjoy life now. All right, but wait a minute, watch this. You'll see in that resurrected body that we're going to be able to eat. There was Edward Everett Hale said this. Now, he was a distinguished chaplain in the U.S. Senate. As far as somebody would come in and he would pray. And he had a lot of eloquent things he said performing his American duty. Here's one thing he said. He said, I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. What I ought to do, by God's grace and with God's help, I will do. Now, what was he saying? He's saying that whatever is put before him, he's going to do it and do it right. Well, I've seen people do that when they eat. Whatever is put before them, they do it, and they do it right. Then later on, they regret that they did it. But in heaven, you'll not have that regret. In heaven, you'll have a body. Now, come on, there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm talking about at least 3.5 years before the Bema seat, we're going to be sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to be eating. And you look, come on. You're going to eat and enjoy it and eat and enjoy it and eat and enjoy it. And today is Easter, and are you hungry yet? All right. Now watch. Here's what we see. We're talking about that resurrected body. That resurrected body is going to be changed. Not going to be the same years as now. That resurrected body is going to be imperishable. That resurrected body is not going to have sickness. That resurrected body, you're going to be able to eat with it and enjoy eating with it. That resurrected body, are you ready? In heaven, will not be married. Will not be married. Listen to it. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30. The Bible says, in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, you know, as we studied the doctrine of angels on Wednesday night, that angels are always in the male stature. That's why I said, if your husband comes to you and says, you look like an angel, that's not a compliment. He's saying you got the face of a man, the body, the physique of a man. You know, now wait a minute, but here's what you see. You see that in heaven, we're going to be like the angels. There is no marriage or given in marriage. Now, we're going to be familiar with each other. We're going to know each other in heaven. But there's not going to be that marital bond one to another. All right? And so in heaven, what is there? Well, we'll see this. We know that the resurrection is true. We know that what is going to take place. We know this, that in a resurrected body, it's not going to be the same as we are right now. We know we're going to be changed. We know that in a resurrected body, it's not going to be an imperishable body. It's not going to be something that's corrupt. It's not going to be something that's going to get worse than what you're facing right now. It's not going to be something that perishes away. It's not going to be that way. We know that in a resurrected body, there's not going to be sickness. In a resurrected body, we know that we're going to be able to eat. We're going to enjoy it. In a resurrected body, we know this, that in that resurrected body, there's not going to be that marriage bond that you have and enjoy today. But we also know this, that in a resurrected body, that we're not going to be limited by walls. Oh, listen, this is so neat. You're going to like this. John chapter 20, verse 19. The Bible says in the same day at evening, so it's evening time. The Bible says, being the first day of the week, and we know that Jesus was raised. He's already in heaven. The Bible says, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the Bible says, where the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now the doors are shut. The doors are shut. He did not open the door to come in. You see, in that resurrected body, walls do not stop you. By the way, this is Bible. In that resurrected body, you don't have to open the door handle. Amen. You know, when I was coming up, when somebody went home to be with the Lord, this is years ago, but I remember when I was 6 years of age, and I don't know of anybody that practices this today, but back years ago, when somebody went home to be with the Lord, somebody died, you would keep the body in your house. Now, I remember my mom said, we're all going to go in the other room and you stay right here. I was 6 years of age. And she said, now, you just stay right here and sit still. And I was in that room, and I don't remember who it was. I don't know if it was a distant cousin or a distant niece. I hadn't thought, I don't remember. All I know is I was in that room, and I was 6 years of age, and my parents went into the other room. And I tell you, you know, when you're by yourself, sometimes it gets spooky. And all of a sudden, I saw that person that had gone home to be with the Lord. I saw them breathe. And I promise you, I left that room like that. I ran in the other room and I said, Mama, you won't believe this. I said, you know, you will not. I'm telling you, you will not believe this. He or she, I forget what it was, breathed. And I was right. My mama did not believe it. Now, I hope you come back tonight, because we're going to talk about the grave clothes and our responsibility after resurrection. But now, watch this, if you will. Here's what you see. The Bible talks about that those doors or those windows or those walls are not going to be necessary. Matter of fact, listen to this. John chapter 20, verse 26. The Bible says, and after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, Thomas being one of them. Then came Jesus, watch it now, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. So now 8 days later, if you will, they're coming back together. The doors are shut again. Now Thomas is in the midst of them, and all of a sudden Jesus appears right there. Now, I don't know about you, but I look forward to that. Have you ever tried to get into a place and you can't get into a place? We have at our church what we call International Worldwide Evangelism. It was a ministry I started many years ago, and I would travel to Cambodia and West Africa, and I would go to Thailand, Philippines, different places. And I would train pastors of how to start churches and train pastors how to train people, and we showed them how to get into the schools and how to get into the colleges and how to work with the government and stuff like that, and we would reach many, 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 many thousands with the gospel, and we would train people. When I came here, I had a lot of stuff. And so Dr. Bulkley and I was talking along with the other staff, and I said, I really need a place if I can to store my stuff. And so they graciously suggested a room over here, over in the gymnasium. And so I have a lot of my stuff over there. If you walk in, I guess about a couple of thousand books that's in there, and file cabinets and Bibles and all sorts of stuff that's in the IWWE room, International Worldwide Evangelism. But because we play ball in the gym, some of our kids, you know, they're good basketball players, but they just happen to miss the rim. And when they do, you know, they hit that door. And you know, because it's right close to the rim. And so the door handle was all messed up. You know, and you could wiggle it, but you couldn't get in. You talk about frustration. You talk about taking a key and putting it in that door handle, and you had to hit it just right. I mean, you either had to pull it out slightly, push it in slightly, turn it a little bit. And you stood there sometimes for 10 minutes trying to get in the door. And then you would cry out for help. Hey, can you do this? And some little kid walks over about like that and puts it in there. Here you go, preacher. But it was frustrating trying to get into the door. Can you imagine? Have you ever been frustrated trying to get into a door? Can you imagine there being no frustration because you don't have to get into the door? You just kind of walk through it. That'd be pretty good. Now, wait a minute. Come on. You can go visit somebody and they don't even know you're there. Just kind of walk. Hi, how you doing? Oh, never mind. Okay. I said in that resurrected body, what's it going to be like? It's going to be changed. It's going to be imperishable. It's not going to have sickness. You're going to be able to eat. There's not going to be the marriage or giving in marriage. Walls and doors are not going to limit. Let me just give you a couple more real quick, and I got to close. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Look at verse 14. Revelation chapter 19, verse 14. We'll just go with a couple more, and that'd be it. Our resurrected body will be clothed. Somebody said, well, what's the clothing like in heaven, preacher? Well, here's what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 14. The Bible says, and the armies which were in heaven followed, it says, him upon white horses, clothed in fine, watch it, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. All right? And so we're going to be clothed in fine linen. It's going to be white. God even tells you what color it's going to be. So I tell you what color am I going to wear in heaven? Can I wear blue? I like pink. I like purple. Not me, but somebody else. All right. Now wait. God even tells what type of clothing, the color of the clothing that's going to be wore there. All right. And so in a resurrected body, you will be clothed. Listen to this. I'm done. I'll draw it to a close. Our resurrected body, think about this, will be hard to recognize to begin with. My mom went home to be with the Lord. If I remember right, 54. I think dad at 57. Both of them had emphysema. Both of them had cancer. I remember my mom, she changed. The cancer just ate and ate and ate, and her physical appearance changed. I remember that my dad went through the same thing. Physical appearance changed. Before they got cancer, I remember them getting older. You know, there was a couple years that when my parents, they were still vibrant, they were still young, but it seemed like when they hit 52, 53, 54, you just started to see them, it seemed like they aged quick. You know, and I remember my dad never wearing glasses. He hit 54, he got glasses. Massive, massive change in his life. I remember my dad always being vibrant. My dad would jump around. He had full of energy. I mean, that's just the way he was. Something happened when he hit about 55. He didn't have the energy anymore. I don't know what happened, but something happened, okay? Might have been the cancer starting to set in. Not really sure. When my mom died, my mom was eaten up, Brother Wislowski, with cancer. Mom was having a hard time. She lost a lot of weight. She lost her hair. She just didn't look like mom. Brother Craig, but when I see her in heaven, she's going to be perfect. When I see her in heaven, there's not going to be that disformity, if you will. When I see her in heaven, now because of that, I might not recognize her. I've never seen my mom in a perfect body. Some of you, I might not recognize for a while. Never seen you in a perfect body. You know, you might not recognize me. I might look, well, slightly different. Here's what the Bible says. John chapter 20 and verse 14. The Bible says, and when she had thus said, she turned, it says, herself back, saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, come on, here's Mary. She's looking around, knew him well. Probably few people knew him as she knew him. Turned around, saw that, hey, who is this? Watch what the Bible says in verse 15. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have bore him thence, tell us where thou hast laid him, and we'll take him away. She didn't know who she was talking to. So here Jesus is right there. She's looking right at him. Looks like a gardener. Looks like somebody she hadn't seen in a while or seen ever. Bible says in verse 16, Jesus said on her, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, listen to it now, says, which is to say, master. Then she recognized who it was. But she recognized him first by his voice, not by his appearance. So in heaven, you might not recognize those that have gone on before you to begin with. Your mama died, she had cancer. Daddy died, he had a heart attack. Somebody died, they were extremely overweight. Somebody died and they were looked like they went on a starvation diet. Just meat and the bone, if you will. But all of a sudden in heaven, hey, you'll recognize their voice. There's certain people call me on the phone and I don't see them, but you know it to be true in your life. You recognize who they are just by their voice. Watch this. I'm done. His resurrected body. I've got other scriptures I'd show you on that one there, but I'm not going to. But let me give you one more. His resurrected body. We will serve him with our resurrected body. His resurrected body served others. Our resurrected body will serve him. Let me give it to you and I'm done. Here it is. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3. The Bible says, there shall be no more curse. It says, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. Listen to it now. And his servants will serve him. Somebody says, what am I going to do with my resurrected body? Got news for you. You're not going to serve Buddha. Well, preacher, what do I do with my resurrected body? It's not serving Joseph Smith. Well, what do I do with my resurrected body? You're not serving a Jim Jones. What do I do with my resurrected body? You're not going to serve a David Koresh. What do I do with my resurrected body? You're not going to serve a Confucius. Who are you going to serve? King of Kings. Lord of Lords. That's who you're going to serve. And so, well, I know what I'm going to do. When I get to heaven, it's going to be rest time. Not according to the Bible. When you get to heaven, you're going to serve Jesus Christ. And by the way, there's going to be plenty of things to do. And by the way, the Church of the Living God ought to remind you a little bit of heaven. There ought to be some things that you can do around church to serve God. This is a getting ready place. That's all church is. You know what we're doing? We're trying to make you ready for heaven so that when you get to heaven, you don't have a perfect heart attack. All right? Now watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. We're talking about that resurrected body. That resurrected body is going to be changed. It's going to be imperishable. It's going to be a body that suffers no sickness. It's going to be a body that you can eat with. It's going to be a body. You're not going to be bound in marriage. There's not going to be no marriage bond in heaven. But we're going to know each other as brother and sister. In heaven, the walls won't stop you. The windows won't stop you. The doors won't stop you. In heaven, you'll be clothed. In heaven, you're not going to have any difficulty with that which is the flesh except by recognizing those that you once knew. You'll recognize them first, maybe like Jesus was recognized by his voice before recognized in his appearance. In the resurrected body, what are we going to do with it, preacher? We're going to serve him. We're going to serve him. Read the story last night as I was preparing, working on the final notes of the message here. There was a guy in Arkansas who was a bass fisherman. Bass fisherman found a fantastic idea. He said he could go out at night, and at night he would catch every single night 100 bass. 100 bass. So he decided to challenge himself. He said for 40 nights straight, I'm going to go bass fishing, and I'm going to see for 40 nights straight how many fish I can catch. Now, the sad thing about the article is it didn't tell how many fish he caught. But it did say that he lost 20 pounds. It did say that he had such a passion for it that he was willing to sacrifice for the sake of catching just one more bass. And wouldn't it be good if you and I just decided that we want to put Jesus Christ first on a resurrection celebration Sunday, and we decide, since he's going to be so good to us in our resurrected body, that since we're going to be serving there one day, let's get into practice serving here right now.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.